And we're going to continue our conversation about this topic from another vantage point. What's it like to watch somebody fall into the clutches of a hate group? That's what happened to our production assistant, Jocelyn Frank, when she was in college. Of course, college is supposed to be about meeting new people and being exposed to new ideas and experiences. But what if those experiences have to do with hate? Jocelyn tells us what it's like when a roommate takes up the wrong friends.
I grew up in a suburb of Detroit, Michigan that was very diverse. My neighbors were Greek, Iranian, Indian, Korean, African-American, and Latino. That helped me feel comfortable with the wide variety of people that I met in college. I lived in the dorms and in shared houses with 6 or 7 friends at a time. I learned to share cleaning and grocery shopping. I lived the liberal arts life. So you can imagine my surprise when in my senior year of college, I slowly discovered that one of my housemates was completely different from anyone I had ever encountered. Adam was a white supremacist in training. Now the obvious question is, how could you live with an aspiring skinhead for months and not know it? Well, the thing was that Adam was a friend of a friend. The two had met in class the year before. In their spare time, they fixed up cars together. Neither had a buzz cut or spent time drawing swastikas. Everything seemed pretty average. But it was hard for the rest of us to get to know Adam. He kept to himself a lot. He read and ate in his room, and spent a lot of time online. I didn't think much of his quiet ways, until one afternoon when Adam was watching the news alone in the living room. When I walked in, he started talking politics. He complained about women's rights, civil rights, immigration rights, and before I knew it, Adam made it clear that he thought that people of different races would do better if we were all confined to our own separate countries. Now, my light skin, blondish hair, and light eyes allow me to fit in with the racial majority when I want to. You wouldn't know I was Jewish unless I told you. And Adam didn't know, so I decided to push back a little. I said, "Yeah, I can see how you could feel attacked as a white male. But whites do have a history of enjoying privileges in America." Well, my insight didn't move Adam, and we chatted only a few times after that. In one of our last conversations, he accused Jews of running the world. That's when I told him that I myself was Jewish, and that, contrary to his theories, no one in my family at the time worked in media or politics. As I revealed my religion, I could see something in his face change. And after that, he seemed uninterested in talking to me at all. Later, I talked with my other housemates about what I had discovered. In my mind, we all suddenly seemed reduced to vulnerable ethnic identities. Latina, Jewish, Armenian. We walked on eggshells, whispered in the kitchen or behind bedroom doors. And we knew Adam felt it too. He started to go on more weekend retreats with his new like-minded friends. Soon he came home with a buzz cut, new black lace-up boots, and a copy of Hitler's Mein Kampf for his bedroom coffee table. In the end, Adam moved out of our house after a semester. As someone who tries to see the best in people, I think back over my conversations with Adam, and one thing sticks out. He didn't really feel a sense of identity before he met his white nationalist friends. He joined a movement of people who offered him a sense of belonging. These days, most of us publicly celebrate our ethnic and religious heritage, and I wonder if we all remember that it's only a part of who we are. I wonder if anything could have been done to help Adam realize that, too.
Commentator Jocelyn Frank is a production assistant with Tell Me More.